Good evening, folks. This is Carolyn Evers, and as you know, if you've listened to this show before, this is my favorite time of the week. And I brought along another favorite thing in my life.
Good evening, Carolyn. Good evening, everyone. This is Richard. And we're having something a little different tonight. I'm out of the hot seat, you might say, and Carolyn's on point. And it's going to have a lot of fun with you all because we're going to take your questions and have you investigate some of your past lives. Sorry, I'm just looking here. Something has happened. There we go. I was missing power on my computer. I thought, my goodness, we might have trouble here before we're done. And so... this is really for you guys. Now, most of you probably wouldn't have listened to the early radio shows that Carolyn used to do by herself several years ago. And people used to call into those shows, and the skills that Carolyn would display in terms of simply being able to connect with past lives with people as she spoke with them were truly quite extraordinary. And I have to say some of those skills have been a little difficult for her to access in the last year or so since her pretty nasty fall in August of last year, where, frankly, I wondered if she would survive it. But she's back here full of cheek, and with all of those skills back in place, I've been witnessing her doing it with some other work that we've been doing recently, and it's just so exciting. And we got talking about it, and we thought it'd be fun to do it on here. And so the plan tonight is that you call in if you have a question about a past life that you felt you were a particular individual or you were present in a particular time in the past and you wanted to have Carolyn check that out for you. So that's the plan, and it's limited to one question each for each of you, because I suspect there's going to be quite a bit of interest in this tonight based upon the number of emails I got in the last couple of days after I announced that we were going to do this. So, and I see we've already started. So, Carolyn, are you ready to go with this?
Oh, indeed I am. Like a shot.
Well, we have Dee on line one. Dee, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Ah, there you are.
Okay. It is so good to be with the both of you. I'm so excited. It's so neat to have Carolyn back and with us and healthy, and I am so excited. And we've talked before, Richard, and my question is, where do I fall in with the Knights Templar?
In other words, were you a Knights Templar?
Yes.
Well, apparently she feels like she was, but she's asking that question of me to see if I could connect with that lifetime.
Correct.
And describe it to Dee.
Yes, ma'am.
And
yes,
I have found that lifetime, Dee. And as you suspect, you were a Knights Templar. And I'm looking at your physical body, and I could just weep with joy. You were so masculine, so strong. And I'm looking at your hands. You had these quite broad hands, and I can see that hand grabbing the sword. You know, those swords were very heavy.
Yeah.
And yet you were able to pull that sword out of the hilt so easily. You were a very strong man. Not only were you strong, but you, like the other Templars, did quite a bit of exercising. Not only did you exercise, but you worked very closely with your horse. And I'm seeing you in that lifetime, this strong physical man that you were, and how you worked with your horse. There was a very special bond between a Templar and their horse. And when the Templars became involved in a charge, no one could resist it because they were like a wedge. They rode so closely together that literally their feet touched one another. And so if you can just think of that for a moment, sitting on that horse and the love that you felt for that horse and feel this powerful body that you had, you might get some sense of what it was like being a Templar then. Not only that, but there was great respect that passed between you and everyone else. Even those that kept the Templars' possessions, the horses, you know, the stables, where they lived, there was great love. And I would say that for today, if you can somehow envision yourself in that body, it would be very good for you to feel the love that passed between you and your other Templar brothers and you and those that took care of you, took care of your horse, took care of where you slept, took care of everything that you needed. This was all provided for out of great love, this great brotherhood. So, Dee, if you can have any sense of how you felt in that lifetime, feel the love. It was marvelous.
That's beautiful, Carolyn.
Yes.
Thank you for bringing that forth for Dee.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you so much. Thank you. I'll let someone else talk.
Thank you, Dee.
If there's anybody else on the line.
Oh, there's lots of people. Eva
okay.
on line two.
All right. Eva from New York. I would love to know which incarnation is connected to this one and what is the purpose of my life this time.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that question, Richard. Can you help me with that?
Yes, she said which particular lifetime in the past was most connected to this one and what is her purpose in this life?
I'm not going to go there about the purpose in this life. That's out of the area of what we wish to discuss for tonight. But as I look to that life that is connected to this life, I see you as the child. I see you, we've gone all the way back to right after the birth, this baby growing, and how this baby was tended to and loved by all of those around it because you were being prepared in that lifetime to be a painter and a sculptor. Unlike Michelangelo, who just preferred sculpting, you would be taught how to sculpt and to paint. And do you have any of those skills in this lifetime or desire in this lifetime?
No.
Maybe you need
I
to think about that a little, Eva, because you have some skills there that are, you might say, hiding from you. You have great skills in that area. Do you meditate?
Sometimes, but I'm not very good in meditation. I do... the guided meditation with my boyfriend.
Well, relax and think about those skills that I discussed with you because I think it would be very helpful if you brought them forth. You held great talent in this past lifetime that I'm looking at. Thank you, Eva.
Well,
hope that helped.
Thank you very much. Thanks.
Beautiful. Thank you, Eva. Cleo on line three.
Hi,
Cleo.
John, Richard.
Hi, dear. What question do you have? What do you have an affinity for? Where do you think you lived before?
Me, Cleo?
Yeah,
yes.
You, Cleo.
I was going to ask if you could tell me anything about some past lifetimes that I had with my new little granddaughter, Ellie.
Oh, you're going to love this one, Cleo. Did you say her name was Elvie?
No, Ellie.
Oh, Allie. Allie or Ellie?
E-L-L-I-E.
Thank you. This is going to surprise you because she was your mother in another lifetime. What happens is we have a group of people that we come into this earth, on this earth many times, and we change positions with one another. Sometimes they're our parents, sometimes they're brothers and sisters, and the purpose for that is teaching and learning. And she was you were very dear to each other. I would imagine, Cleo, she's very close to you right now, isn't she?
Well, she's only 8 months old, but I intend that I align my soul with her soul.
Yes, you loved her dearly then, and you will love her dearly in this lifetime. Do you meditate?
Not often.
When you do, think about that moment before she came into this lifetime, when you made an agreement with her to work closely with her and to love her. You will find that you're going to have a very close connection with this child.
Okay, great. Well, she doesn't live near me. She lives in Baltimore, and I'm in New Jersey. So I don't get to see her very much.
You don't need to see her. All you need to do is take, when you meditate or you're in a very relaxed position, take her picture. You see, even in a picture, you can pick up vibrations of another person. So sit down in a relaxed state, look at her picture, and see her adorable little face in your mind's eye, and you will be taken right to her presence. It will be almost as if you were holding her in your arms.
Well, that's wonderful. I have lots of pictures, so I can do that.
Oh, of course you can do it. And not only that, I think that if you did that on a regular basis, it's going to start bringing back memories to you of that other lifetime.
Did we just have one other lifetime together?
No, you've had, I'm looking down here, you've had quite a few lifetimes together. You have changed positions with one another. Sometimes you were parents. Sometimes you were a parent and a child. Sometimes you were siblings. We seem to have a core group, Cleo, where we change these positions with one another, and it is a learning process. You see, you think you come into this life and everything is a blank page, but it's not. You're bringing in a lot of emotions and talents and triggers from other lifetimes, and you bring it into this lifetime. And if you know a little bit about it, you can explore it. So look at that picture and connect with her, because the two of you have much to give to one another.
Thank you, Cleo. So much. I'll do that. Thank you.
You're welcome,
thank you,
dear.
Cleo. That's beautiful, Carolyn. Now, we have Scott from Wisconsin on line four. Scott, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Beautiful. And what past lifetime do you wish to check out?
I've got, if you could maybe choose one for me out of these, because I can't decide. I'm thinking either between Knights Templar or Essenes, or perhaps a connection with Joseph of Arimathea.
I would suggest that you we look at that lifetime as the Essenes, since you were familiar with Joseph of Arimathea. I'm looking at that now, Scott, and you were friends. You were friends with Joseph of Arimathea. How do you feel about that?
I'm not surprised, actually.
What I would suggest, you meditate, don't you?
As much as I can, which is not very often. I need to do it more.
Well, sometime when you're meditating, call him in. He has much to share with you. You were good friends with one another. In today's vernacular, you might say you were buddies.
Wow. That's fantastic. Thank you.
You're welcome, Scott.
Very good. Thank you, Scott. Now, okay, Lisa from New York on line 5. Lisa?
Hi.
Hi, Lisa.
Richard.
Hi.
And Caroline, I want to tell you what a pleasure it is for me to talk to you both. And Caroline, I hope you're feeling better.
I am, Lisa.
And
so, what lifetime do you feel connected to? What do you want to look at?
I don't really know any specific past lives. I've been told a couple of different things. One, that I was a princess of some kind in a past life. But then on another occasion, I was very driven in this life. I began making facial prosthetics and had a business doing that, and I was very driven to that, and someone had explained to me that in a past life I had accidentally caused a disfigurement to someone, and I came back into this life, and through karma that kind of addressed that. I don't know if, you know, how much truth there is to that, but I was very, very driven to do that work. So maybe none of those things apply. Maybe you can tell me something that may be more relative to this life.
Well, Lisa, do you feel connected to that when you describe that?
I don't know. I mean, I was very driven to do the work that I did.
Our emotions are a great indicator of where we stand. It's like when you have a dream, and that dream has somehow awakened something within us, you have to look first at the emotions that you're feeling surrounding it, and it gives you a lot of information. And it is true here also. The emotions surrounding this discussion that you're talking about, in other words, the prosthetics that you were making, was in that lifetime that you're talking about, or this lifetime?
This lifetime that I did that work. I felt very driven to do it. Very happy and fulfilled, in fact.
So you think perhaps you had a past lifetime where you were helping people who were injured in some way?
Or had accidentally caused an injury, and that in this life I came and made good on it, so to speak. I don't know for sure. Maybe you could...
Okay. What I'm seeing is that you were involved in the Civil War. You were a Southerner, lived on a plantation, and had many slaves. And you became involved in the Civil War. And it was something that you really didn't want to do. You didn't want to shoot other people. You didn't want to see them firing the guns. And as your brothers fell underneath the fire of guns, it bothered you. How do you feel about that today? The Civil War. Do you ever
horrified.
Go to? Do you ever go to any of the reenactments?
Never. I'm anti-war, anti-violence. I'm a very peaceful, you know, light, loving, you know, person. I can't. No, I absolutely shrill at any violence at all, of any kind.
Well, look at the lesson that you learned. You know, all of these experiences that we go through in each lifetime is teaching us a lesson. So, as a person who fought in the war, you have learned a great lesson because you looked at the suffering of people who were caught up in those battles, and you learned just how tragic that is. I would suspect that when you hear about people going to war in this lifetime, that makes you sad.
It's very upsetting. In fact, last night I just saw pictures online of, you know, dead children in Syria that were bombing. And it's horrifying. And my heart just bleeds for these people everywhere in the world who are innocent victims of war. And I feel so helpless. And it's a very awful feeling. I wish I could just go and scoop them up in my arms and protect them. And I know that I can't. And even my own children, it's been, you know, it's been quite a few battles in this lifetime. So not necessarily war, but it's, I don't know what the, I don't know how that's relating to this lifetime, though. I mean, later in life. I presume,
well, actually,
you know,
you're not helpless, dear. You think you're helpless because you don't think that you can change the events of the war. But what you can do is change the energies of the war. And so when you see these things that disturb you, send peace and love. Imagine these people living on another timeline, in another dimension, living peacefully with one another. And you see, if more of us thought peace and love, we would bring those actions into our planet. So it's very important to do that, and I think you would work very well with that. Thank you for calling, dear.
Thank you to both of you very, very much.
Thank you, Lisa. And now, Susan from Kansas on line one. Susan?
Hello.
Hi. Hi, Susan.
How are you all?
We're great. What period do you feel drawn to, Lisa? I mean, Susan?
You know, I struggle back and forth with that. I've been, you know, kind of feel like I work with Isis, and, you know, I don't know. I really am looking for maybe something that can just kind of help boost me and get me through till things start changing for us.
I think kind of what you mentioned something, dear, I'm talking over you, and that's not the best thing in the world to do, but you got me so excited when you mentioned Isis, because I think you need to feel yourself drawn to Isis. Imagine yourself under her protective mantle and see yourself working with Isis in this lifetime. Something's happened with our volume, Richard. I don't know what it is.
I'm here.
Okay. This lifetime with Isis is extremely important for you. Do you meditate?
I do some, yes.
When you do, call her in. Ask her what you can do to bring peace into the world. Isis will work with you. Matter of fact, she's talking to me right now. She's telling me that you two have an agreement to work together with one another.
Is there any direction in that?
Any directions?
Yeah, as far as what kind of work.
When you meditate, let's do something right now. I want you just to close your eyes, call Isis in, and see the experience that you have, and tell me what you're experiencing.
I just feel energy. I like energy work or energy something.
Well, energy's wonderful, but
you should be able
to hear her voice. I think you need to work with this. You can speak with her. You can hear her voice. She certainly hears yours. And she would be more than happy to work with you, to take you as her protege and accomplish some energy work in this world. You see, that is your gift, working with energy. Isis is your teacher. Work with Isis to use your gift. And good luck to you.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Susan. And now, Sarah from Arkansas on line two.
I know that once I have that ability back, to manifest.
Who's Sarah? Are you there, Sarah? Are you talking?
Yes,
to someone
I'm here,
in the
honey. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, babe. I'm so sorry. I'm here.
Okay,
I'm here.
Sarah, you're here, and you have
yes,
a question for
here.
Carolyn about a past life.
Is this Richard?
Yes. Yes, this
yes.
is Richard.
Is she available? Hey,
she
Richard,
sure
how
is.
Are you?
You're on the air.
Hi, Carolyn. How are you, Carolyn?
Hi, sweetheart. So, what past lifetime or what period in the Earth history do you feel drawn to?
Well, actually, there are many.
Let's just work with one at the moment.
I got you. I felt like I would be drawn. I would be drawn to a certain timeline when I got you on the phone. It's either going to be with in biblical times or in Atlantis. Probably, I think the Atlantean Isis connection is probably the most. That would be the one.
The island of Atlantis was very interesting in the sense that I have seen that land. And on the very bottom of it was a white stone, like a limestone. And over the top of it was soil and, of course, grass and flowers. But it's one of the reasons why the energy there broke up the island is because the stone itself was not a real strong stone. So it was like one of the first attempts at setting up a civilization, and the planners came back later and worked with land that was constructed a little bit differently, so there wouldn't be that breaking up the way it was in Atlantis. But now let's go to Atlantis for a second and see what you were doing there. I don't know if you can relate to this, but I see you dancing. I see you dancing in the temple.
Mm-hmm. The high priestess.
Yeah. Yeah. See, dancing was a very wonderful way of offering thanks, offering appreciation. When priestess danced in the temple, she didn't do that just for herself. She did it for all the people. So it was like an offering that went up from all the people, and the people knew what you were doing. In other words, your work then was highly respected by those that lived with you. What do you think of that?
I think that resonates very much with me. I know that I used crystals and did various acupunctures, things like that to heal people. But I think what I wanted most to know was that was I connected? How many high priestesses were there? And I know I was told there was also a crystal skull that I am to be the guardian of or to reclaim. That's an issue. And is there an Isis connection? Can you answer that?
Is there an Isis connection?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
You would be considered, because of what you did, you would be considered a professional. Professional in the sense that there weren't many people that did this, but you had the skill, you had the responsibility, and all the people that were connected to the temple were indeed connected with Isis. Matter of fact, do you meditate at all?
Oh, sweetie, I have had so much trouble doing that and committing to it. I don't know why. It's a block, and I've had my implants removed, supposedly. But I'm still, is there some sort of an aversion to meditation? I don't know why.
You had a very special armband that was higher than the elbow. That was a sign of Yeah, well, you know where the elbow is. Well, this band that you wore on your arm was above where the elbow would be, and it was gold. It was quite beautiful. And if you meditate, think on that bracelet that you wore on your arm, because it will help you feel your worthiness. You know, we're all worthy, but what you did in that lifetime was such a wonderful gift to humanity. And it would be good to be able to feel the joy and the appreciation that people sent to you. So that's something that would be of great benefit to you.
It would be. It would be right now, especially because I know that I'm here to help the transition and help heal the world after the transition. And I need that self-confidence. You know, I need to remember that I had that ability.
Yeah, think on that armband. You were very special, and you were blessed. And you are very blessed in this lifetime also.
I think I'm close. I think I'm very close to something, yes. I do.
Well, you count your blessings because you have been very blessed. Thank you, dear.
Thank you, Sarah.
Well, and I hope you continue to heal. And Richard, you guys mean the world to me. I've just been so financially restrained that I haven't been able to participate more in your activities. So I really, from the bottom of my heart, I appreciate you so much taking my call tonight. And I send my love to both of you, and I hope to have connections with you in the future very much.
Richard, have her suggest to her to join our conference calls.
Sure. Sarah, and I say this to any of you on this call who feel a connection with our work but are holding back, send me an email. Reply to the email that I send out with this recording, and tell me where you are, what connection you feel with our work, because I know that some that are connecting with us tonight that are not close to our work are in fact far more connected to what we are about than you perhaps recognize. So don't let money stop you connecting with us. That's not a good policy. There are ways of addressing many of the things that we do. So this is not just to you, Sarah, it's to others. And if we have time, we'll see where we are. But, you know, I'm drawn to make a few comments about meditation as well, but we'll get to that. So thank you for coming forth, Sarah. We appreciate it. And
thank you.
Now we have the first of our international callers. We have Mercedes on line 3 from Israel. Mercedes?
Wow.
Hi,
isn't technology wonderful? Hi, sweetheart.
Thank you for having me. Hi, hello, Richard and Caroline.
So what lifetime do you feel connected to?
Well, I would like to ask about Nostradamus, because I feel kind of a connection with him. Also,
oh, Nostradamus.
Time or what? Yeah, yes.
You know he lived in France, don't you?
Yes. Well,
have you looked up his history?
Yeah.
Because that's where your connection was with him. You there?
Okay. Yes, I'm here.
That's where your connection was with Nostradamus, was in France. And I suggest that what you do is look up his biography and pay special attention to that time that he lived in France, and you might bring back some memories.
I tried. I never experienced or saw a past lifetime. So, yeah, I'm trying.
Well, read his history. That'll help. It'll help you to connect into his energy.
So what I hear you saying, Carolyn, is that firstly, Mercedes was not Nostradamus in a past life, but rather spent time around Nostradamus when he was present, yes?
Yes.
Okay.
But it would be helpful to her if she would read some of his biography.
Yeah, I'm doing that. I'm reading some books.
Good. That's beautiful.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mercedes. Good to hear from you.
Thank you.
And so we have our second international caller. I'm not sure how this is pronounced. Is it Amage or Amage on line 4 from Amsterdam?
Hi, Richard. This is Amit.
Oh, Amit.
Hello. Yeah, yes. Amit.
Yes. Oh, Amit. Yes. I'm sorry. Gotcha.
Nothing like meeting old friends. Hi, hi. Hi, Carolyn. Hi, Richard.
Hi, sweetheart. So what past lifetime do you feel a connection to?
I would like to know what my connection is with John the Beloved.
Oh, John the Beloved.
Yes.
So you lived during that time of Yeshua. I wasn't talking right away because my heart was just filling up. I have this picture of John the Beloved with his head on, oh, this is so beautiful, on Yeshua's shoulder, and you're holding John's hand. Mm-hmm. There was a strong connection between the two of you. Imagine yourself with your head on his shoulder, holding Yeshua's hand. You were on close terms with Yeshua also. You were an Essene. Matter of fact, if you look down upon the garments that you were wearing during that lifetime, you would have had a white robe on. The Essenes wore white. How do you feel when I tell you that about your white robe?
I can see that.
I love it. You can feel it. That's great. That's beautiful. That's your connection, sweetheart, and you had this close connection with Yeshua also. And if I might add, Mother Mary and also Mary Magdalene. How do you feel when I tell you about this close connection you had with Mary Magdalene?
I do believe it.
You don't believe it?
She does believe it.
I do.
Oh, she does
believe it. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
You were friends.
I can see us also.
I can see the two of you going to the well and collecting water.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for your call, yes. Sweetheart.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Carolyn. Thank you. Thank you,
You're
Richard.
Welcome.
Bye.
Thank you, Annie. And so we have a further international caller. On line 1, we have Steve from Hong Kong. Steve?
Hello, Richard.
How are you, Steve?
Hello. Richard, Carolyn.
Hi, Steve. So tell me, what lifetime, what area of the world do you feel a connection to?
Yeah, I feel like I'm drawn to Lake Titicaca because it is man-made and artificial lake. So I wonder if I have a lifetime there, digging the lake. Can you tell me something about that?
I couldn't hear him.
Lake Titicaca, is that what you said, Steve?
Oh, Titicaca, yeah.
Yes.
Did you know that there are space vehicles in Lake Titicaca?
Yeah, I know.
How do you feel about that connection with those space vehicles?
I feel like I'm driving those vehicles.
I didn't hear what he said, Richard.
He feels like he's driving the vehicles.
I did. I love it. Yes, you did. question, my dear. I love it. That's cool. That is cool. That's exactly what you were doing. Yeah, and they would land in Lake Titicaca.
Yeah.
Steve, thank you so much for coming in, and I'm glad that you were able to feel that. That
thank
was good
you
work
so
on your
much.
Part.
It's wonderful.
Thank really.
You.
Bye. That's beautiful. That's beautiful, Steve. Thank you. And so to Carolyn in New Jersey on line 5. Carolyn?
Hi, Carolyn.
Hi, Carolyn.
Tell me what time in the world that you feel a connection to.
Well, there's two that I'm very drawn to since I'm a little girl. Biblical times, something about Jesus, and also the era of Marie Antoinette, the fashions, etc., everything about it.
Okay,
so which
which
one are
you
choosing?
Want us to look at?
Well, I've been told many times about Jesus, but this one, it was when I was 4 or 5 years old, Marie Antoinette. That era.
What, you want us to
era.
Look at Marie Antoinette?
Yes.
I'm looking at that lifetime when you were with Marie Antoinette, and they had these fans that they used. And I see you there. Well, I see a lot of the women there with the fans. They kept them up their sleeve of their garment. And you also had a little puppy. This was an adorable, what you might call a little lap dog, you know?
Yes.
And you and Marie used to play with that little puppy.
Oh, my gosh. I'll tell it really quickly. When I was 4 or 5 years old, I saw a vision in the sky of Marie Antoinette, the horses, the carriages, etc. And then I kind of let that go. In high school, I'm opening up a history book. There's Marie Antoinette with that outfit, which is, you know, the bodice. It's very beautiful. And I said, I've been here. Thank you. You're the first person that has ever said that. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, Richard. You're both very beautiful. I thank you. Have a beautiful evening.
Thank you, Carol.
You too. Thank you.
And now to Claudia in Florida on line 2. Claudia?
So, Claudia,
hello,
what time of the world are you connected to or you feel a connection?
I'm told I had a past life in Italy in the late 1800s as a nun.
As a nun in the 1800s. That was a difficult time, you know, being a nun in Italy. That's the one you want me to look at, huh?
Yes, please.
Mm-hmm. It was a very difficult time for you in that lifetime, but you worked for the people. It was the time of the Black Plague. And people were so sick, they were dying. How does that make you feel?
Oh, that resonates with me.
You were very brave. Because what you did is you worked with nursing these people. Even though the Black Plague was very serious and many people did not survive it, you did, and you actually nursed many people as they were dying, and so you did this very great, great service for humanity, and I thank you and bless you for your work. That was beautiful.
Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Claudia. Now, I believe we have, I think it's Anton on line 3 in Minneapolis. Are you there, Anton?
Yes, hi, Caroline and Richard. I have a little bit a different question. Caroline, can you see anything in my past lives I should have learned, I didn't, and I have to learn it in this life?
What part of the world do you feel connected to, Anton?
To the whole planet.
On the whole planet, where do you feel connected? What part of the planet do you feel connected to?
I would say North American continent.
North American continent?
Yes.
Is that what you're talking? Okay. I'm looking at that, Anton, and I see you as an American Indian, and you are in a canoe, and you are up near the Finger Lakes. And that is how they traveled from one Finger Lake to another. They would work their way down the lake, and then when they got to the end, they would take their canoe out and then walk it over to the next Finger Lake. How does that feel to you?
I don't have any feelings right now about that.
Well, I don't know if you meditate, but if you do, I would suggest that you put that image in your mind because it was a very happy time for you.
For some reason... Are you there, Carolyn? Are you coming back? For some reason, we've lost Carolyn on the call, which is a little frustrating. But we're probably getting up to the point as far as we can go with this tonight. And there are other callers that wanted to call in. And I do apologize to those that are waiting on to ask your questions.
We'll do this another time.
Oh, you're back.
Yeah, I'm back. And we'll do this another time, everyone.
And so we just had a feeling there would be a lot of interest in this, and indeed there has been. And so one of the things that saw a lot of interest as we have tonight, we thought what we might offer is the opportunity for any of you to request a session with Carolyn where you spend perhaps 45 minutes or so and have a list of questions about past lives and periods of time where you might want to check these things out in more detail than you've been able to do, obviously, in this little brief interlude. So I will set that up and send you a link to that when I send out the emails in relation to tonight's call. We've had some fascinating calls and some very interesting information coming forth. And Carolyn, I want to thank you for the extraordinary work that you do here. This ability is truly quite extraordinary. It just fascinates me every time I see you do this.
Thank you, Richard. And I would like to thank all of those who called in and had their questions, and they were all very interesting, and we hope that we helped all of you.
And again, I would say to those of you who feel a connection with our work that participate in these calls but have not made yourself known to me or connected more directly with the work that we do, for whatever reason, I encourage you to reply to the email that I'll be sending out with the details of the recording and so on. And, you know, we can kind of investigate all of this a bit further to, you know, so many of the people that are closely connected to our work are indeed incarnated cherubim. And many of you know this, but some of you are but don't know it yet because you've not actually contacted and asked. And we saw a bit of a theme coming out here that I just wanted to take a moment to talk about, and that is the issue of meditation. And it's something I often talk to people about in the soul healing sessions that I do, because so many have got caught in this belief, I guess you could call, that we, in order to meditate effectively, need to still the mind. And my view on that is that if you were brought up in an Indian ashram from about the age of 12 or 13, you know, with a guru and meditated for hours a day and so on, you might actually achieve that. Now, there are a few people in the West who achieve it, but by and large, it's my view that you won't. And I will tell you that if stilling the mind is a measure of success in meditation, then I am an abject failure. So what I would say to you is simply mark out half an hour early in the morning in your calendar and just spend that time with yourself. Go within, use your breathing, if you can, to settle yourself down. And, of course, your mind's going to wander around and, you know, the thoughts of the day are going to come up. And gradually, as you keep doing it, you'll be able to be more of a witness of those thoughts. But also, the thing that is often useful to do, you've heard Carolyn suggesting to people who've called in and she's spoken to focus on particular things when you meditate. And this is a very useful thing to do. But above all else, what you start to do is build a greater sense of yourself within. That's the key focus of meditation.
This, Richard, can I add something here, please?
By all means.
I appreciate all that you're saying, but something that I would like to add to that, there might be some people who aren't getting our emails.
That's true.
So how would they get on the list to make sure they get our emails?
Well, they would go to the website, the2012countdown.com, and you can enter your name and email address on any of the pages on that website, and you will be added to our contact list.
That would be wonderful, because I suspect there are people who are hearing this who aren't getting the emails, and
that's
we want to make sure
true.
That you get it. Yeah. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I just thought it was important.
Yes, you did.
Okay, I did. I confess.
So, yes, just be at peace with meditation. It's a process of connecting within with yourself and let go of any view about how it should look, because I promise you it'll look different for every last one of you. And it's never right and it's never wrong. I mean, it's right by definition. That's what I mean to say. It's never wrong. It is your experience, pure and simple. It is, in a sense, an experience of yourself. So give yourself that gift and remember you can never fail. You can never not be good at it. It's like going for a walk every day. You keep doing that, you will get fitter by definition. If somebody wants to build a strong physical physique, you don't do it by going to the gym a couple of times. They go regularly and gradually build up that physique. The same is true with meditation. It's a skill and ability that you develop with practice. So leave your judgment at the door when you go and sit quietly somewhere, either on a cushion or a comfortable chair where you won't be disturbed, ideally just after you've got up in the morning so you're not going to fall asleep. Set a timer for half an hour and give yourself the gift of meditation. What that experience will be for you is your experience, not somebody else's. And what somebody else experiences has nothing to do with you. So, my friends, let's wrap it up at this point. I thank all of you who called in and participated tonight. And thank you, Carolyn, for your beautiful gifts and skills that you displayed for the people who were able to connect with you. It's such,
thank
as
you,
I
Richard.
Said, such a joy to witness these abilities that you have. And so until next time, my friends, good night for now.